Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Dalet, and we're going to pick up on daf Dalet Amud Aleph. But let's just remind ourselves where we left off. So we've been dealing with the sugya of how we know that kesef works for kiddushin. That was the question, and in addition, the Gemara had asked about how we know that a father can marry off his daughter for kesef as kiddushin, and that the father can keep that money. And in the context of trying to determine that, we brought a raya from Amma Ivriya, because we said, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, it says, V'yatzachinam ein kesef, and we talked about the fact that ein kesef, that if it says V'yatzachinam, she goes out for free, then ein kesef, obviously there's no money. So what's the point of those words? And we said, ein kasef la'adon zeh, that there's no money that goes to this master, that when you're dealing with an Amma Ivriya, that her master does not get money, but there's some other master that when a girl goes out, that she would get money. And what would that be? That would be when a girl leaves the rishus of her father, that there would be money for the kiddushin, and we talked about how we know that it goes to the father. But the Gemara is now gonna question the entire premise of that limud, and say, how is it that you can compare a case of an Amma Ivriya to a case of kiddushin? So the Gemara says on the top line of Dalet Amud Aleph, V'halo damya hayitziyah lahayitziyah. These are very different things. When we talk about yitziyah, Rashi says yitziyah erisin liyitziyah amma. So how could we say that they're similar? They're very different things. Hasam nafkala mirishus adon legamri. In the case of an Amma Ivriya, we're talking about a girl who's released entirely from her master. So we talked about the fact that if neither the father nor the son chose to marry the girl, and no one redeemed her, then she goes out to freedom, and she has no longer any servitude to this master, and there's no payment of money. But here, akati mechzer mesira l'chupa. But yet, in the case of kiddushin, it's not a real leaving of rishos, because we see that the father still has connection to his daughter, in as much as that he can keep her ma'asiya deha, because we know that a father can keep his daughter's earnings until she goes to the chuppah, which is nisuin. So how can we compare Amma Ivriya going out to kiddushin? In the case of Amma Ivriya, it's a real going out. In the case of kiddushin, it's not a real going out. So how could you entirely compare these two things? So the Gemara answers, Be'afaras nedarim mi'an nafkala mirishusei. It's true that they're not entirely comparable, and that a girl, when she goes out to kiddushin, doesn't entirely leave her father's rishos, but there is some sense in which she leaves her father's rishos. Why? Because her father no longer has exclusive domain over being made for her nedarim. We know that a father can, if he hears his daughter making nedarim, can reject those nedarim. And what happens, we learned this, we've spent a lot of time on this in nedarim, what happens when a girl has kiddushin? It says, "Disna nara murasa." If you have a nara who had irisin, avia ubaila mefer nedareha, that her father and the husband have joint control over her nedarim. So what do you see? You see that at some level, that when there is a freedom, or I don't know if it's a freedom, but there's a shift in control that occurs at the time of kiddushin. It's not only chuppah that affects the change in status, and therefore, because there's some kind of release that goes on as relates to a girl, a nara, when she has kiddushin, that it's appropriate and okay to have a comparison to the case of Amma Ivriya. Okay, so we finished that, and now the Gemara is going to ask a different question. So we brought a limud, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, and we brought v'yatzachinam ein kasef, and we said that what did we need ein kasef for, and we said that it's coming to tell you that from this adam she has no money, but from a different adam, which is her father, she would have money. That was the limud we learned, to learn how we know that there's kasef in kedusha. So the Gemara asks a question, v'hai v'yatzachinam. These words, v'yatzachinam, that we're using as our limud here, l'hachi hudasa, does that come, in fact, for this limud that you told us to say that there's kesef in kiddushin? Hamibayilei, we needed those words for a different limud. What limud would that be? L'chidisanya, like we learned, the Tanya, like we already learned, the Tanya that we learned, the Yatsa Chinam, and she goes out for free, Elu Yimei Bagros. This means, okay, so what this is going on is the following. So we know that at some point, the girl goes free from the Adon. Again, if the father or the son don't marry her, or no one redeems her, she goes free. But what's interesting is, we don't actually know when does she go free. It says, V'yatza chinam, she goes free. It doesn't say when. So we figure out, V'yatza chinam, she goes free, Elu Yimei Bagros. That is when she becomes a Bogeres. A Bogeres is the stage that basically is 6 months after she becomes a Nara. And a Bogeres, in the development of a woman and in her independence, a Bogeres is the final stage. So if it says V'yatza chinam, she goes out for free, so it must be referring, the latest point it could be referring to is Bogeres. That's when she becomes a full-fledged adult in every respect. So the pasuk continues, Vatachinam, it continues, Ein Kasef. So from that we see Elu Yimei Naras, that she even goes free when she's a Nara. So that's how we establish that an Amma Ivriya goes out if she's not redeemed or otherwise married at the time she becomes a Nara. So what do we see? We see that we use the words Ein Kasef to teach us a different limud, to teach us about when it is that an Amma Ivriya goes free. So how can we use it for our purposes to say that it shows you that there is Kasef in the case of Kiddushin if we're already using those words? So Amar Ravina, Ravina said, in Cain, if you're right that it was only coming to tell us that she goes out as a Bogeres and as a Nara, then Le Makra Ein Kasef, and for those who aren't looking inside, it's Ein with Aleph Nun, without the Yud. So Ein Kasef. So you would not need the letter Yud. You could just say Ein Kasef Aleph Nun Kasef. So my Ein Kasef with a Yud, Ein Kasef L'Adon Zeh, or Yesh Kasef L'Adon Acher. That there is no Kasef for this master, but there is for another. Umanihu, who would that other master be? The Av is the father. So it's saying, from the fact that it says Ein Kasef without the Yud, I know that it's she can go out at the stage of Naris. From the fact that it adds the Yud, I also further know that this idea that a woman can be have Kiddushin with Kesef. So the Gemara asks a question which perhaps was bothering some of you. Where do we ever find such a thing? That because the word Ein is typically written Aleph, Yud, Nun. So what's your point to say that it could have been written without the Yud? That's not how we write Ein. So who says there's a limit to be had there? So the Gemara says, I'll bring you a raya that we have this kind of limud, desanya, because we learned v'zera ein la. This is a pasuk in Vayikra, which says, which talks about the fact that it says ubas koin kisia amano grusha v'zera ein la v'shava el beisavia kinureo milechem avia tocho v'chozor lo yochobo. What this is talking about is as follows: that if a bas koin, the daughter of a koin, grows up at her father's home, she can eat truma. If she goes out and gets married to a non-koin, she ceases to be able to eat truma. But if she subsequently is divorced or widowed from that husband, and so she, in a sense, so she's no longer connected to that husband, she falls back under the household of her father, and she can eat truma so long as she has no children. If she has children, then I think that retains a connection to the husband, and she doesn't fully go back into the reshus of her father. So that's what the pasuk says. So the sanya we learned in the brayso of Zara ain la, she has no children. Ain li ela zara, I only know that her having children would passel her ability to go back to her father's home and have truma. Zara zara minayin. How? What about a grandson? What if she had a child who in turn had another child? So she has a grandchild. Does that grandchild means she can't go back to her father's home? Talmud Lomer, Zera Ein La, and it's written Ein with the Aleph Yud Nun, Ayin La. So Aleph Yud Nun can be read, not only Ein, can be read Ayin. So we say it means Ayin La, check into that, see if she has a grandchild, because if she has a grandchild, then that would passel her from having Truma. The Ein Li El Azar Kasher, I only know if she had valid children. Zera pasul minayin. What happens if she had a pasul child? Rashi says could go mamzer, like a mamzer. So how do I know that pasuls her from eating truma? Tamalomer, zera ein la. It's written aleph yod nun. ayin la, you should examine whether she has any illegitimate children, in which case she also can't go, back to her father's home and eat truma. Now, very basic question we should all have. You just use the same lima twice in a row from the same pasuk. So how can you do that? If it's an extra yud, it's a funny enough lima to begin with. How do you learn two different things from it? So the Gemara says, zera zara lo itzrich kra, that the truth is, the first lima I told you, the lima that if she has a grandchild, that passes her from truma, we didn't really need the pasuk for that. We would know that. We really only needed the pasuk to say that if she has zera pasul, if she has a mamzer or something, that counts as a child. Why don't we need to know a grandchild? Because we have a principle, the bnei banim harei hein kebanim, that grandchildren are like children. Now this is really something we encountered in Yevamos, and was there in the context of talking about when someone is mekayim their mitzvah of pru or vu. Is it sufficient? In other words, you're supposed to have, according to Beis Hillel, a son and a daughter. If someone loses their child, that chiyuv comes back into play. But there was a discussion about, does grandchildren cover? And we say it does. B'nei banim harei and kebanim says that grandchildren are like children. This is an interesting thing. Some learn that that's unique to this halacha of pru or vu. Some understand that grandchildren are like children in other things. Like, for example, the chiyuv to give kavod to a grandfather, or etc., has a very practical ramification that the poskim discuss about, for example, whether a grandchild would say kaddish for a grandfather. Lots of interesting things in this halacha. But in any event, because we have this principle, b'nei banim harein kabanim, that because grandchildren are like children, we would know that if she has a grandchild, it's like she has a child, and therefore she can't go back and have truma. So we need the pasuk v'zera ein la, to tell us that if she has an illegitimate child, that also counts. Ki itzrich kra, when do we need the pasuk lezera pasul, for zera pasul? But what's the point? What do we see from here? We see vezera ein la, it's written aleph yud nun, and we see another instance where they learn out from the fact that it has that yud in there, so we're saying, okay, now we see it's a valid limud. And the Gemara says, v'tana gufe min alan, the darish hachi. Okay, so you brought me another brisa that says the same limud, but how do they know that you could do such a limud? That's a strange limud. The idea that you could just judge by the lack of a yud in the word. So Amri, as I said, ksiv me'ein bilam u'me'ein yevami. What are these psukim? One, the first pasuk is vayakumu sari Moav, that the princes of Moav came up, vayavo el balak, they came back to balak, vayomru me'ein bilam halochi manu, that bilam we normally understood to be he's like protesting or doesn't want to come. So it's me'ein that he's not bilam halochi manu, that bilam's not going with us. So the Gemara is understanding that the me'ein is really the word ein, and it's just written without a yud. Similarly, me'ein yavami, it says v'im lo yachbatzi shalakachas yavimto. If this is the pasuk by chalitza, if the man doesn't want to take the yavama, but also yavimto ashira, she goes to the gate al zakenim, and she's to the zakenim v'amru, and she says me'ein yavami lahakim la'achiv shem b'Yisrael lo ava yavmi, that this yavam is does not want to stand up his brother's name in Yisrael. He doesn't want to do yibum with me. So again, we see me'ein, and that means me'ein yavami, that there isn't yibum there. So the Gemara is understanding that those words, me'ein bilam and me'ein yavami, are really the word ein, aleph, yud, nun, but it's written without the yud. So you see that it could be written without the yud, so therefore the fact that a yud is added makes it a valid limud. The like siv behu yud, that there's no yud written, v'hacha ksiv be yud, and in our case, There is a yud written when it says ein kasef shema mina ledrasha udasa. So we see the source that's a valid kind of limud, that if it's missing the yud, if it has a yud, that there's what to be learned out from there, because it could have been written just like we wrote me'ein yavami or me'ein bilam. Okay. So now the Gemara goes on to something else. Ve'istrich lemichtav kiddushei la'avia ve'istrich lemichtav marsi yadeh la'avia. So the Gemara wants to talk about why is it that we have separate psukim to say that a father can get money from kiddushin of his daughter and that the father can get the ma'asi yadeha of his daughter. Now, we encountered both of these limudim almost in passing. The first one was not in passing. The idea that the father can have kiddushin is from this thing, v'yatza chinam ein kasef. But in passing yesterday, we learned another halacha of Rabbi Yehuda Marav, minayin shemais habas lav. We asked it was part of a kasha in the Gemara, but we encountered this idea that we learn from the pasuk. It says ki yimkar ishas bita la'ama. So why did it need to say la'ama? Why couldn't it just say when a man sells his daughter? From the fact that it says la'ama tells you ma ama ma'isiyadeh la'raba. Just like an ama, her earnings go to her father, so too the ma'isiyadayim of a nara would go to her father. So the Gemara wants to know, why do you need to tell me that the ma'isiyadayim go to the father and that the kiddushin money go to the father? If you tell me one, I see a father has financial ownership of his daughter's earning potential. So why do I need both of them? So the Gemara says we need both the ikas of Rachman and Kedusha Elavia if the pasuk had only told us that a father has rights in his daughter's kedushin, hava mina mishum deloy tarcha buhu. I would have thought that why does the daughter relinquish her kedushin money to her father? Because she didn't work for it. It just came from a guy who her father's marrying her off to. Avo maisi adel de katarcha buhu. But I would say that her maisi adayim, her earnings, if she runs a lemonade stand or whatever it is she does, she should be able to keep that because she worked for it. Ema dida havu, I would say it's hers. So that's why it needed to tell us kiddushin goes to her father, not to her, because I might have thought she didn't work for it. Viashmina maisi adel. And if it would have only told me that she gets to keep, that the father gets to keep her earnings, I would say, okay, to come misna mine. Because a girl is supported by her father. And this is similar, we know, what's the reason that a husband gets ma'asi yadayim of his wife? Because he supports her. And in exchange, he gets her earnings. Because normally her earnings are less than the cost of support. That's why we've learned many times that if the woman doesn't want, she could say, I'll keep my earnings and you keep your mezonos. So in other words, I might think that since a father is paying for his daughter's mezonos, so therefore he gets to keep her earnings. Avu kiddushaha, but kiddushin, deme alma ka'asi la, which just come from the world, meaning it's not something that necessarily, it doesn't come with frequency. Rashi says, shchicha, it doesn't come with frequency. It's not something that's in the father's mind to say, I'm supporting her, therefore I should get her kiddushin. Se'emo dida havu, and therefore I might say it's hers. So even though ma'asi yadayim goes to the father because he gives her mezonos, but maybe kiddushin will go to the girl directly. Tzricha, so therefore he needed to say not, and we have a lima that says both ma'asi yadayim and kiddushin money go to the father. Okay, two dots. Gufa, so we learned a limud before. Again, the Gemara was asking, how can you tell me viyatzachinim and kasef comes to tell me that kasef works by kiddushin? I need it in order to tell me bagrus and naras. So now the Gemara is going to go back and we reference that. Viyatzachinim eli yimei bagrus. When it says she goes out free, but it doesn't tell us when, so we say the latest stage of development was bagrus. So obviously, she would go out when she's a bogeres. Ein kasef, when it added ein kasef, eilu yimei naris, those are yimei naris, which is the stage before. So we see that she can go out when she's a naris. So now the Gemara wants to know, v'lichta v'rachmana naris, v'loy boi bagrus. He's saying, if she goes out when she's 12, then for sure she's out when she's 12 and a half. If she goes out when she's a nara, so then she's already out by the time she becomes a bogeres. So just tell me v'yatza chinam, and instead of learning out bogeres, we'll learn out nara, and then I don't need the second limud, because what is it adding to tell me that she goes out when she's a bogeres? So the Gemara says, nice try, but it doesn't work like that. Amarava ba'zeh v'lamin alzeh. The way we know nara is because there's two psukim written. Because the first time the pasuk is written, we know the latest stage of development, which is bogeres. And the time, because it's written a second time, we know that it's nara. But if you only wrote one, in other words, what the Gemara is saying is, it's not like v'yatzachinam has some specific connection to bogeres, and ein kesef has some specific connection to nara. It's the fact that it's written two different things. So the first one tells you the latest stage, and the second one tells you the one that comes before it. So you can't only write the second one, because then it would be the first one, and you would only know bogeres. And the Gemara says, midi dahavi atosha v'sachir, you see a similar thing written by tosha v'sachir, disanya, because we learned, and this is a sugya that's talking by the fact that we know that a kohen, in a kohen's home, the members of his household can eat truma, including miknas kaspo, which includes his Eved Kenanim, they can eat truma. Interestingly, an Eved Kenani can eat truma, but an Eved Ivri cannot eat truma. Why? Because an Eved Ivri is not Miknas Kaspo, is not the financial, is not, the owner doesn't fully own an Eved Ivri. He fully owns an Eved Kanani. And therefore, the Eved Ivri has some status on his own outside of the master. And therefore, they cannot eat truma in the home of the coin. So therefore, the Pasuk says, Toshav Zek Kani Kinyan Olam, Sacher Zek Kani Kinyan Shanim. So it says as follows, that the psukim say that a toshav and sachir don't eat truma. So it says toshav is coming to tell you a kinyan olam. What is that? We know that if an eved ivri wants to stay with his master, you bring him to the door and you pierce his ear, and then he stays avavado laolam, which we understand to mean yovel. But basically, that's what the Gemara is calling a kani kinyan olam, a perpetual kinyan. Sachir zeh kani kinyan shanim. This is a guy who's still in his first 6 years. To tell you that neither of them can eat truma because they're not really fully within the ownership of the master. So the Gemara says yomer toshav velo yomer sachir. Just tell me toshav, which would tell me the one who is kana kinyan olam. And don't tell me sachir, ani omer, and I will know, kani kinyan olam ein ha'ochel, kani kinyan shanim lo kol shekein. So he says that just tell me the case of the nirtza, the one who's serving forever, because if even he can't eat truma, meaning if he's not the possession of the owner, like an eved kanani, and therefore can't eat truma, then for sure, a guy who's just working, in other words, if the guy's working forever, vavadar la'olam can't eat, then the guy just working till 6 years, for sure can't eat. So the Gemara is saying, tell me Toshav, don't tell me Sachir, and I'll know Sachir. Why do you have to tell me both words? Because if I know the guy who serves forever is, then I would know for sure the guy is serving 6 years. So the Gemara says, Ilukena, Yisi Amar, had you only written Toshav, and so again, the Gemara is saying that Toshav and Sachir aren't specific to the Kanei Kinyan Olam and the Kanei Kinyan Shanim, but rather it's the fact that there's two of them written. Ilukena, Yisi Amar, if you would have only written Toshav, I'd have said, Toshav, Zak Kanei Kinyan Shanim. That's coming to tell you that a guy who sold for 6 years, he is separate from the owner. But that the guy who's a nirtza and he's serving his master la'olam, or at least toyoval, that we should say he should be able to eat truma. So therefore, that sachir comes as a second term to tell you that toshav means that even though it's coming, the second limud comes to tell you that not only a kinyan olam, but also a kinyan shanim, but also a kinyan olam. So again, you see the idea that because it uses both words, toshav and sachir, I know a 6 year guy and a forever guy. Now, if I only had one of them, I would only learn out that the 6 year guy doesn't get to eat truma. I wouldn't know, and I would think that the forever guy gets to eat truma. So what the Gemara is saying is, again, those words, when we learn toshav is a kana kinyan olam and a sachir is a kana kinyan shanim, the only way we know that is because there are two terms. So once there's two terms, I figure out it's talking about these two people, but it's not unique to them. So we see the same kind of lima. And Rashi points out, once we're saying toshav and sachir, toshav implies a long-term residence. So we say it's the kani kinyan olam, and sachir implies a six-year guy. But if not for the fact that it had both terms, I would think it was only talking about a kani kinyan shanim. So therefore, we see a limud that does a similar type of thing, where from the fact that there's two words, you see it. Amar Abaya, me dummy, can you compare the case of Toshav and Sachir to the case of Nara and Bogeres? He says, Hasam Trey Gufe Ninu. There, in the case of Toshav and Sachir, there are two different people you're talking about. There's two Gufim. The Chinami, because why? The Chinami Kasav Rachmana Toshav Nirtza Lo Yochal. V'hadar Kasav Idach Havi Sachir. He said, if the Torah, let's just say the Torah would have written that a kanoi kinyan olam cannot eat truma, and a kanoi kinyan shanim cannot eat truma, right? So had you actually written that out, that would work, because it's telling you two different halachas. Now the Gemara is going to get focused on something for a second. It says, have a sachir milsadasi b'kavachomer, milsadasi b'kavachomer, tarach b'kasav lakra. So he just points out that even though you could say that if I know that the Avada La'olam guy can't eat truma, then for sure the Sheishanim guy can't eat truma, so maybe say you shouldn't need to write both because I know one from a Kavah Chomer, but the Gemara says that sometimes even though you can learn it from a Kavah Chomer, Tarech Lekasav Lakra, the Pasuk writes it, and we're going to explore that concept a little bit later. But what do you see? So far the Gemara is telling you, how can you compare Sachir and Toshav to Bogeris and Nara? Because Sachir and Toshav are two separate people. The Torah could have written, a Nirtza of Avada La'olam guy doesn't get Truma, and a Sheishanim guy doesn't get Truma, and you wouldn't have any problem. Elahacha, but here, Chad Gufahi, you're talking about one girl, it's one person, one body. Kinafka Lo Benaros, Bagrus my boy Gabe. There's no such thing. In other words, you can't say both a Nara and a Bulgaris, if it would write it out fully, that both of them go free. Of course, because what does it mean to have a Bulgaris go free? If she goes free when she's a Nara, and her father can no longer sell her, so then obviously by the time she becomes a Bulgaris, she's not a Amma. So what does it mean that a Bulgaris goes free? So the Gemara is saying, Bishlama Toshav and Sachir are two different people. So you could have, the Torah, if it wanted to write it out, could write it out fully. If the Torah wanted to write this out, it would make no sense. It would say, a Nara can go out from being an Alma, and a Bulgaris can go out. And then we'd say, well, what does that mean, a Bulgaris can go out? How does someone ever reach the stage of Bagros, still being an Alma, because they would have gone free when they were a Nara? So the Gemara is asking, how can you say that it's coming to teach you both of those things? So El Amar Abaya says, Lo Nitzercha, when it says, that v'yatza chinam tells you a bogeres, and ein kesef tells you a nara, is talking el veger the islandess. It's talking about what, it's not talking about a bogeres. Normally we think of a bogeres as a woman 6 months after she becomes a nara, she becomes a bogeres. There's a different form of bogeres, which is an islandess. So we know the halacha is that an islandess who never gets the simanim of naras, because she never grows Shtei Sairis, she never grows two hairs. So she never becomes a Nara, so how does she go free? So the answer is, we know that if by the time a woman is 20, she never develops the Simanim of a woman, she never develops the Shtei Sairis, she never develops the Simanim of a Gedola, so then she goes out free, at that point she becomes a Bogeris. So what we're saying is, what we're saying is as follows, that when it says V'yatza Chinam is coming to tell you Bogeres, Ein Kesef is coming to tell you Nara, it tells you a regular girl goes free when she becomes a Nara. A Bogeres, since she never gets Shtei Sairis and never becomes a Nara, she goes free when she becomes a Bogeres at 20. I might have thought that when a woman goes out is when she becomes a Nara, but she does not go out when she becomes a Bogeres, but she wouldn't go out at the stage of Bagrus. Kamash Malan, that an islandess does go out, even though she never reaches Nara, she goes out when she becomes a Bogeres. So that's why, and so in fact, had the Torah, to answer the question we had before, had the Torah written two halachas, a regular girl goes out in a Naras, and an islandess goes out at Bogeres, those would be valid halachas, so you could learn both of them. Maskev Lamar Baravashi, Mar Baravashi has a problem with that. He says, well, I have Kavachomer, who? Isn't it a Kavachomer? You could know from Kavah Chomer that a Bogeres goes out. You don't need the Pasuk to tell it to you. Umasi manim shem motziyam erishos av motziyam erishos adon. If we know that simanim, that if a woman gets Shtei Sairis, that it doesn't take her out from the rishos of her father, but motziyam erishos adon. So how do we know it doesn't take her out of the rishos of the father? Because the father, as we talked about, still gets maisi adeha when she is a Nara. He still inherits her when she's a Nara. So therefore, so when she gets simanim, she does not go out from the rishos of her father, but motziyah merishos adon, she would come out from the master. If she's an Amma Ivriya, at the point she gets Shtei Sairis, she goes out. So bagros, she motziyah merishos av, then a bogeres, who does go out from the rishos of her father, and he no longer has a zchus in her maisi adayim, ein adin, she motziyah merishos adon, then for sure, Bagras should take someone out of the rishos of an adon, because if simanim take them out of an adon, for sure Bagras should take it out of an adon, and therefore, since the bogeres stage of an islandess is 20, I don't need the pasuk to tell it to me, because I would know from a kavah chomer that a bogeres goes out, at the time of her bagras. So elamar my barvashi. So my barvashi says, I'm going to give you a different teretz, which is, And again, the question we're dealing with is, why does the Torah need to tell us Naros and Bagrus? Because no one ever becomes a Bogeris at a time they're still Nama. We already have it from Nara. So he says, Marbar Vashi says, Lo Nitzricha El Iker Zvina Da Islandess. You're right. I wouldn't need it to know that an Islandess goes out at the time of Bagrus. But what do I need it from? I need it in order to tell me that there is an Islandess that reaches Bagrus while still under an Adon, because Salkodaita Chamino, I might have thought the Asya Simane Naras have Zvina, the Loy Asya Simane Naras Loy have Zvina Zvina. That when, if a Nara brings her Simanim, it shows us in retroactively that this was a valid sale in the first place. But if she doesn't bring Simane Naras, I would not know that it's a valid sale, and I would think you have to undo the sale. So that's what he's saying, we need both. You're right. From the Kavah Chomer, I would know that at the time a woman becomes a Bogeres, if she's an Islandess at 20, she goes out. I didn't need the Pasuk to tell that to me. But what I did need the Pasuk to tell me is by telling me that at the time she turns 20, she goes out as a Bogeres, informs me that when she became, if you're going back to determine whether it was a valid sale, that it shows me by saying that she can go out, shows me that she was in. If she was in, it shows me that's a valid sale. And we don't have time now, but Tosis explains that we might have thought otherwise, that once it turns out that she's an islandess and she turns 20, then we say it must not have been a valid sale from the beginning. And therefore, the father should give back the father should give back the money that he got from the Adon, because he sold his daughter to the Adon. And the master should give back all the earnings that he got. So I might think you would reverse the transaction. So therefore, by the Pasuk telling us both Nara and Bogeres applying to an islandess, I see from the fact that it says that a Bogeres goes out of being an Amma Ivriya at the time she turns 20 when she's an islandess, shows me that the transaction in the first place was a valid transaction. So that's answered our question now, Amma Beis. That's answered our question why we needed both Nara and Bogeres, because one is coming to tell you Nara, and one is coming to tell you Bogeres by islandess to tell you that it's a valid transaction. Kamash Malam, the Yatzachinam, therefore comes and tells us that the halacha of Bogeres. Fine. So now, if we just keep in track of the structure here, Mar Bar Vashi, Abaya had a kasha, and then he gave his own teretz. Mar Bar Vashi had a kasha on that and said, why do you need to tell me an islandess when she becomes a Bogeres? I know it from Kal Vachomer. And so Mar Bar Vashi had his own answer that it was coming to tell us that the transaction works in the first place. Mar Bar Vashi, Damar Velav Kal Vachomer Hu. Mar Bar Vashi said, isn't it a Kal Vachomer? What do I need the pasuk for? Ha Amrina, Milsa Dasi Ba Kal Vachomer, Taref HaKasav LaKra. We know this principle, which we just encountered on Amud Aleph, the idea that even though something could be learned out by Kal Vachomer, then sometimes the pasuk writes it anyway. So what was your kasha on him saying, why do I need Nara and Bogeres? I could figure it out by Kal Vachomer, so why would he need to tell me both? Why not just say Tarech Kasav LaKra, that the pasuk wrote the extra words? But you're right, I could have learned it on Kal Vachomer, but the pasuk wrote the extra words. So what was the kasha that he had? So the Gemara tells us something about this principle that when there's a Kal Vachomer, Tarech Kasav LaKra, the pasuk can still write it. Hani mili hecha deleka l'shnuye. You're right. If I have no other choice, if I have no other answer to understand what it's coming for, I would tell you that the pasuk wrote an extra word, and it could have been learned from Kal Vachomer. But if there's an answer, Mashninun, we're going to give that answer. And therefore here, since Mar Bar Vashi could find a scenario of why it needed to say both Nara and Bogeres without the Kal Vachomer, so then it's better to say that the Torah didn't write extra words, but rather to have a limud from it. Okay, so now, what we did is we just went through a long Gemara that talked about the Yatzachinim in Kasef to tell you that a girl can be married off with Kesef in Kiddushin. Now, those of us who are paying attention, remember that on Beis Amud Aleph, we learned Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, right? And that was how we knew Kesef. So that's what the Gemara is going to deal with now here. So it says, V'tana Maisi Lamei Halchi. The Tana of our Mishnah brought it from here. The Sanya, because we learned in this, Ki Yikach Ish Isha Bala, that if the Pasuk says if a man takes a woman and has relations with her, V'hayam Leisim Sachem Be'erav, she doesn't find favor in his eyes. Kimatza by Avastava, because he found the problem. And we learn, so therefore it says, Ki yikach ish isha, when he takes her. In kicha ela bekesef. Kicha kach is kesef. How do we know? V'cheinu amr, because it says, Masati kesef asada kach mimeni. I've given you the money of the field, take it from me. This Avram Avinu said to Ephron, Achiti, which we talked about on Sunday. I took it from there. So we see that the limud of kicha kicha misayafron that kesef works by kiddushin. So now the Gemara is going to ask, and this is truth is this is a kasha even according to the Yatzachinam ein kesef that we learned kesef by kiddushin. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that a girl can have kiddushin with kesef? Mahalodinhu, I should tell you that it should be a kavachomer that I should understand that a woman that kiddushin can be done with money, whether it's a nara or an adult. What would be the kavachomer? Uma ama ivriya she'ena niknis bebia niknis bekesef. If an ama ivriya cannot be acquired, a man can't walk up to a woman and say, "I'm going to have bia with you, and therefore you're going to be my maidservant." That's not a way of acquiring a maidservant. The way you acquire a maidservant is by buying her from her father. So uma ama ivriya she'ena niknis bebia, bia would not work, but niknis bekesef, kesef works. Zu, this a regular woman she niknis bebia that can be acquired with bia. Because it says, we're going to learn a little later what the source is, it says Ubala, and he has relations with her in that pasuk. So you see that Bia works by a woman, Eino din she tikna b'kesef. So then I should know by Kavachomer that kesef works. Because if Amma Ivriya, Bia doesn't work but kesef does, then in the case of a regular woman where Bia works, for sure kesef should work. So the Gemara says, Yevama tochiach. No, the problem is that Yevama proves you wrong. Why? Because Yevama she niknis bebia, the way she's acquired is with bia. Veina niknis bekesef. It doesn't work. If a man dies and his brother and he's childless and his brother can't do yibum with kesef, he has to do yibum with bia. So therefore, Yevama proves that your kavachomer is not good. So the Gemara says, Mali Yevama she kain ein niknis beshtar, tomer bezu she niknis beshtar. He says, what's your raya from Yevama? Yevama is a separate case. It's not a regular case. Because you see, Yevama can't even be acquired with a shtar. We know a regular woman can be acquired with a shtar. So it tells you that the circumstance, the halachas of Yevama are different. So just keep in mind our structure here. We said we had a kavachomer. Then we said, no, but it's not a good kavachomer because of Yevama. To which we said, Yevama is not a good case where you can ask on. So where are we? We're back to having our kavachomer. The Brisa then continues and says, therefore it says, ki ikach ish. If a man takes, and I see that you can have kesef, you can have kiddushin with kesef. So the Gemara is going to ask, I don't get it. Halom alikra, why do you need the pasuk? Ha asyula, you just brought a kavachomer. Because we had a kavachomer, we had a kasha on the kavachomer, we answered the kasha, so we're left with the kavachomer. So then, and it was trying to say, therefore we don't need a pasuk. And then the Brisa continues and says, tamalomer, therefore it says the pasuk, ki ikach. I don't understand. You just proved it with the kavachomer, and then you're saying tamalomer ki yikach. So the Gemara says, what kind of structure is that? So Rav Ashi says the reason it said tamalomer ki yikach is because there was a problem with this kavachomer. Mishum de ikla memir mei kara, because there's something to say from the very beginning. Forget asking me from Yevama. There was a problem in your core kavachomer. Why? The dina pircha. Mishum de ikla memir mei kara the dina pircha, that there's a kasha on your ikker din, on your main kavachomer. Why? Mehechi kamaisis law. Where are you trying to learn out that you should be able to acquire a woman in kedushin with kesef? Me ama ivriya. You're trying to learn from ama ivriya. But how can you learn out from ama ivriya to marriage? Mal ama ivriya sheken yotze bekesef, tomer bezu sheen yotze bekesef. In ama ivriya is different than marriage, because we know marriage can only be ended by divorce. It can't be ended by paying money. So therefore, but an Amma Ivriya can be released by paying money. So what do you see? You see Amma Ivriya has a certain relationship to money that she's released by money. So maybe she can also be acquired by money. But that doesn't mean a regular woman can, because a regular woman can't be released by money. Tamalomar ki yikach ish. That's why I needed to tell us ki yikach ish. We needed the pasuk because the original kavachomer was faulty. Now the Gemara goes back to a question which we've been wondering about. Why do I need v'yatzachinam ein kasef? And also the pasuk of ki yikach ish. Why do I need two psukim to tell me that kiddushin works with kesef? So the Gemara says, itzrach l'mechtav of the yatzachinam, itzrach l'mechtav of ki yikach ish. I need both of these psukim to tell me that kiddushin works with kesef. The kasef rachmana ki yikach, because if the pasuk had only told me that ki yikach ish isha, that we see from there ki chakicha mistay Ephron, that we learn from Ephron, hava amina, I might have thought kiddushin di yoiv la baal di da hava. That I might have thought that you're right. We know from ki yikach ish isha that ki chakicha mistay Ephron, that there's an exchange of money. But I might have thought the money goes to her. Kasav rachmana v'yatzachinam. Therefore, told us Yatzachinam ain kasev la'adam zev, or yesh kasev la'adam acher, which is the av. So that's how we know the money goes to the father, because it has the second limud of Yatzachinam. Okay, so that's why I can't just write just ki yikach, but why can't I write just v'yatzachinam? Because of Rachman of Yatzachinam, I had it written v'yatzachinam, and that tells you that there is kesef kiddushin, and that the father gets it. Havamina hechi diyoev, diyoev ihi lididei, v'kidashto have kiddushi, kasev Rachmana ki yikach, v'lo ki sikach. No, it wouldn't be enough to write v'yatzachinam, because I might have thought v'yatzachinam ain kasev tells me there's no kesef by an Amma Ivriya, but there would be kesef in another circumstance, where there is kiddushin. But all that's telling me is that there's kesef. But the Gemara is saying, had I only written that, I would say there's money. Maybe a woman can walk up to a man, give him money, and say, here, you're married to me. So no, we know that it doesn't work that way. It's the husband, it's the man who has to take the woman. So therefore, it needed to tell us, as relates to money, ki yikach ish isha, when a man takes the woman, it can't be the woman taking the man. So that's why we needed both psukim to tell us. So we now finish this concept of kesef. There's two limudim, v'yatzachinim ein kasef, and ki yikach ish isha, and the Gemara just told us why we need both. Okay, the Gemara continues, ubala. In this pasuk it says that if a man takes a woman, ubala, and he has bia with her, and then it continues and talks about get. So you see, melamish and niknis bebia. You see that a woman can be acquired with bia from this word, ubala. So the similar structure of the Gemara. The Gemara asks, v'alo dinhu, why do I need that pasuk? I'll bring you a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Uma yavama shein niknis bekesef niknis bebia. A yavama cannot be acquired with kesef. We do have a concept of kesef of mimer, but midaraisa, that's not yibum. And the only way you could do yibum is by having relations. So money does not work, and bia does. Zu, in the case of a woman, shein niknis bekesef, which we already learned from v'yatzachinom, or kaz ki yikach ish. So if she can be acquired by money, ain't a din shenichnis with bia. She should for sure be able to be acquired with bia. Because if a yavama, money doesn't work and bia does, then in the case of a regular woman where money does work, bia should for sure work. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good kavachomer. And it's the same structure. Kash on the kavachomer. Amma ivriya tochiach. Amma ivriya proves you wrong. Why? Shenichnis with kesef. Because she's also acquired with kesef. How is the amma, you know, it can be acquired with money when the father sells her. They ain't nicknis bebia, she's not acquired with bia, so your kavachomer that says if someone is acquired with money, they should for sure be able to be acquired with bia, that doesn't work, because you see, Amma Ivriya doesn't work that way. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good kasha, my kavachomer, because mal Amma Ivriya she ain't kinyana l'shem ishus, time of she kinyana l'shem ishus. Don't ask me from Amma Ivriya. Amma Ivriya is not a case of marriage. Yibum and marriage and kiddushin are cases of marriage, where you're heading with that is toward bia. But Amma Ivriya is not Beklal Ishus. It has nothing to do with relations. It's about servitude. So therefore, you cannot ask, if I'm trying to bring a Kavachomer from Yavama to Kiddushin, which are both matters of marriage, you can't ask me from Amma Ivriya, which is a question of servitude. So therefore, so where were we? We had a Kavachomer, we had a Kasha, and we had a Teretz. So the Kavachomer still stands, and yet the Gemara says, Tamalomer Ubala. Therefore tells me, Ubala, that you can have Kinyan with Bia. So the Gemara says, "Vala malikra ha'asila." Same kasha. You had a kavachomer, a kasha, and a teretz. So your kavachomer still stands. So then, why are you telling me the pasuk Talmud Lomar Avala? Rashi says, "Mishum de'ikla meimer meikar de'dina pircha," because there was a fault in your initial kavachomer. What was the initial kavachomer? We said that just like yivama is niknis bebia, but not with money. So a regular woman who can be acquired with money for sure should be bia. He says, Mehecha kamaisis lama yavama. You're bringing it from yavama. Ma yavama. But you cannot learn from the way yavama is acquired to learn anything to how a regular woman should be acquired. And your kavachomer is not good. Why? Because ma yavama shekein zekuka v'almedes, tomer bezu shein zekuka v'almedes. That a yavama, as we know, at the time she falls into the category of yibum, she is permitted to no one but the brothers of her husband. She's in a status of zekuka liyavam. So you could look at that as she's halfway married already. And all she needs is bia. But you can't learn from yavama that a regular woman should be able to be acquired with bia, because maybe I'll say it's only a yavama who's half married when she starts that bia works. But by a regular woman, it wouldn't. So tamalom or ubala. So that's why we needed the pasuk to come and tell us ubala, to tell us that a woman can be acquired with bia, and we would not have been able to learn it from Yibam, because Yibam, possibly you could say, she was half married when she started.